A tremendous grief has overwhelmed the hearts of God's people this week and this season. As we're trying to make sense of things, that's just the problem, because it doesn't make sense. In fact, it seems so senseless to us. And we all have questions that, frankly, cannot really be answered, certainly not in a 20-minute sermon. But instead of even trying to get at our perplexing questions, this morning I think we need to stop and consider the times in which we're living. The days are evil. And while the tragedies of these deaths are enough, there's more, isn't there? Many of you are walking through dark valleys with your children, with loved ones in your own life. You may be at a place where you are feeling so overwhelmed by darkness. One of the things that I've heard quite frequently in the last couple weeks is it feels like we are under satanic attack, that there's this assault of death and despair on our community. Well, the question that I want to move toward to get at this morning with you is about not losing heart. How do we not lose heart in these evil days? And to consider this, let's turn to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verses 7 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It's important to acknowledge that and not sweep under a carpet that we are in a battle. The world is right there on our screens at home, the despair that we feel over the war in Ukraine, but so is the personal sadness and anguish and overwhelming difficulties. They're just right there for all of us. And at the root of this is something that we didn't read about, but it's important to go back and to see, and it's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, underneath all the warfare and all the turmoil of this life is an enemy who hates God, who hates God's creation, and who hates God's people. Well, Satan has effectively blinded unbelievers from seeing Jesus in the gospel. But he doesn't stop there, does he? So that we who believe, somehow we're off the hook, we're out from under his attacks. Paul lists quite an array of the enemy's devices to get at us who do believe. We are afflicted, we are perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Which one of those describes the siege against your soul today? afflicted in every way. You know, perhaps everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, there just seems to be opposition and hardship, the sadness of loss, trouble that won't go away, a debilitating illness, a setback in a relationship, a struggle with a particular addiction or sin. Overwhelmed and hard-pressed on every side. Or perhaps the assault on your soul is being perplexed, feeling confused, at a loss, wondering, why? You're confounded by all this misery and the power of evil. And maybe your cry is, how long, O Lord? And heaven seems silent. Paul speaks of being persecuted. And some of us here, some of you may be taking a stand for Jesus and what is right and true. And you're being mocked, excluded, rejected, and called a troublemaker. Struck down, our humanity. Wow, are we ever fragile? I mean, we are. We're jars of clay, easily broken and bashed. And perhaps the evil one has used some weapon of meanness or hardship, or maybe a lie, to strike down your hope and your joy, your sense of God's goodness and love. You just feel beaten up. Well, all around the world, you know, Christians have been physically struck down by vicious attacks. All our eyes tend to be at this moment on the Ukraine, but on March 17th, 46 Christians and a number of their children were kidnapped in an attack in Kaduna State in Nigeria. 3 days later, another attack killed more than 25 people and left 100 houses burned, all without response from Nigerian forces. You know, struck down, persecuted, perplexed, afflicted. The righteous suffer. And if you are suffering, it's not that something strange has happened to you or that you necessarily have done something wrong. We're in a battle. There's an enemy, besides the world and the flesh, who wants to crush us, pin us down in despair, leave us feeling forsaken and destroyed. Now, it's a lie that if we follow Jesus, all will be well in this life. It won't. It is a lie that if we encounter tragedy, that God is not good. No, He is good. And it is a lie that if we're in the midst of trouble, that we're helpless and on our own. We are not. We have a power to endure and to overcome so that we do not lose heart. Notice the power we are given. Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay. There is a treasure in these clay jars of ours. There's a treasure that reveals and brings the power of God that enables us to endure so that we do not lose heart. And what is that treasure that is in you and me? Well, Paul tells us in what comes right before, verse 7, verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, Jesus Christ. The treasure is Jesus Christ in you, in me. It's God through Jesus bringing knowledge meaning experience of the light of God's glory. And we get it personally from Jesus. We get the face of Jesus. He is looking at us. He is present with us. That's what it means to have the face of Jesus in our lives. And we spoke of God's glory a number of weeks ago. And gave the illustration of the sun. And, you know, the sun's this glorious sphere out there in the heavens. And we experience the glory of the sun by experiencing the rays of the sun. You stand out and you take a sun bath, you know, and you feel the warmth, the rays of the sun and the light that hit you. And it feels so good, especially on a cold day, you know, when you step outside in the warm sun. Well, so it is with God that we are bathed in the rays of His glory, and we soak them up through Jesus, who is looking at us, who is with us, who brings the glory home, making it real. So in Jesus, the light of the glory of God's love shines on us, so much so, Romans 8:39, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bathe in that light, the glory of God's love. It is true for us in Jesus. Jesus is the light of the glory of God's grace that shines on us. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, bathe in that. We are forgiven. We are accepted. We are secure in Jesus. In Jesus, the light of the glory of God's goodness, God's kindness, God's mercy, wisdom, compassion, gentleness, humility, and so forth, it's all shining on us in the face of Jesus that is turned toward us, for Christ is with us. So although we live in dark, oppressive circumstances, yes, we are afflicted, but we are not crushed because we have the strength of Jesus in us. Yes, we are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair, for Christ gives us hope. Yes, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Jesus is with us. He is our life. And though we be struck down, we are not destroyed, for our lives are precious in the grip of the grace of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we say in the face of Satan's ploys and attacks, Jesus is Lord. He is our life, he is with us, and he will get the victory. Well, you see, this is the treasure that's in us. And this is the power. It is Christ himself. Paul says, I believe, and so I spoke. Well, we believe and we speak. We do not lose heart. Death and despair are not the final words in our lives. No matter what we're going through, Christian, Jesus Christ is the final word. And so Paul even has the audacity to call our afflictions light and momentary in comparison with the coming eternal weight of glory. Now we have to be, wow, super careful with this light and momentary business. Paul is not being dismissive or callous about our afflictions and our difficulties. Paul is not saying that, you know, our shark bites are really nothing more than mosquito bites. So, you know, buck up, cheer up, man up. No, affliction is real. It cuts. It hurts. I mean, Paul knew this all too well. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he talks about how his affliction was so utterly burdensome that he despaired of life. And Paul is not belittling our sufferings. He's simply telling us to keep perspective, to get an eternal perspective. And in the light of the eternal weight of the glory that is going to come our way and we're going to experience in Christ, in that light, all our troubles really are momentary. They're only for this life. And that we not lose heart in our troubles. Paul is telling us, therefore, not to cheer up, to man up, but to faith up. Faith is how we access this treasure of Christ in us and his power. Paul says in verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, so we also believe and we also speak. You know, belief, the spirit of faith. This is not some feeling we work up. It is a confidence in Jesus. It's verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with him, with you into his presence. You see, we know there's this deliberate resting on Jesus. There's a certainty about who he is, what he's done, and what he will yet do, holding us fast and bringing us through our troubles. Daniel Gilbert I'm not sure if he's still there, but he was a psychology professor at Harvard. And back, sounds like ancient history now, but back in 2009, he found that Americans, at least in 2009, were smiling less and worrying more. Happiness was down and sadness was up. He said we were getting less sleep and that depression was on the rise. Well, do you think things have improved since 2009? I don't think so. If anything, they've gotten worse. But Gilbert said this. He said The real problem is not financial. And for us Americans, we think money solves everything. But the issue here is not financial, having enough money. The problem is uncertainty. People don't know what's going to happen. Will I have a job next week? What's ahead in the future for me? And an uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present with nothing to do but wait. And he said at that point, I think it's true today, our national gloom is real enough, but it isn't a matter of insufficient funds. It's a matter of insufficient certainty. Well, isn't this the source of our deepest anxiety and despair? We fret because we don't know what's going to happen next. We have 1,000 questions and no clear answers. Well, this certainly is the feel of the moment for us in this community and for these families that have been devastated by tragedies. But although we cannot see around the corner and we fear the uncertainty of the times, here's what we know. Here's what we have a certainty about. We know the one who lives around the corner and is with us and will get us around the corner. And that is Jesus Christ. And so we believe and so we speak. Who or what can strike Jesus down? Who or what can crush him? Who or what can leave Jesus feeling perplexed or in despair? No one and nothing in all creation. He is Lord. And this is the certainty we have. It's the certainty of a person. And so our souls are not overwhelmed because we know this one is with us. And so by faith, we shift the weight of our worries from self and from circumstances to Jesus. Instead of being overwhelmed by evil, we're overwhelmed by Jesus' matchless greatness and goodness. And we even dare trust, as Paul says, that these hardships and these afflictions that we're going through, that they're actually preparing us for this eternal weight of glory that's beyond all comparison. I remember a woman years ago in our fellowship who, when she came down the hallway, people, and especially children, darted for rooms to get away from her. She was a very direct person, not very warm, and always inquiring, are you where you're supposed to be? Do your parents know where you are? But over time, she suffered the loss of loved ones in death, the loss of her home, and eventually the loss of her health. And if you were to meet her after the loss of all those things, you might not think she was the same person. And it wasn't because her body was worn out and she was old. She had begun experiencing something of the eternal weight of glory. It was already coming, this side of glory. Because her afflictions and her sufferings were preparing her, making her into this amazing, kind, and gentle woman. And she became one of the most grateful, sweet-hearted people you would ever have met in this church. So much so that when she ambled down the hallways, no one ran. Because we all knew we were loved by her. And we wanted her around. So what do we say in all these afflictions? What do we say in the face of the assault of death and despair that overwhelms our lives and the lives of loved ones in our community? We say very simply, we do not lose heart. We lift up our souls to the Lord. We put our hope, our faith in Jesus. Sure, our outer self is wasting away. The afflictions are real. The tears can be bitter. But our inner self is being renewed day by our God, who has not abandoned us, but is using even our afflictions to prepare us for Jesus and the eternal weight of glory. So we will not lose heart. We will lift up our souls to the Lord. We will lean in and lean on Jesus, trusting him. He has not abandoned us. He is with us. He will be glorified, and he will carry his people. Hallelujah. Amen.